Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's PLUS Group Learning conference call. All lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be a question-and-answer session at the end of the call. Your host for today is Tracy O'Malley. Ms. O'Malley, you may begin.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Tracy O'Malley, and I'm the Executive Director of the PLUS Group. We'd like to thank you for taking the time today to join us for the PLUS Group DI Day training. Today's topic is the 5 biggest mistakes salespeople make on the phone, and will be presented to you by prospecting expert and phone power guru, Steve Cloyda. Hopefully you have the presentation so that you can follow along. If you don't have it, you can go to our website at www.plusgroupus.com, and on the right side of the page under upcoming conferences, you'll need to click where it says the 5 biggest mistakes salespeople make on the phone. It will take you to another page, and the presentation is on the bottom of that page. We hope that you enjoy the presentation, and as mentioned, you will have an opportunity to ask questions at the end of the audio conference, so please jot down any notes you might have. Thank you again, and I'm going to turn this over to Steve.
Thank you so much, Tracy. And welcome, everybody. It's a real privilege and an honor to be here today. The reason that I'm here is to share with you some powerful ideas that will have an impact on your phone prospecting activity. In other words, to really help you eliminate what I call the 5 biggest mistakes that salespeople make on the telephone. There's a cliche in the marketplace that goes something like this: those who can do and those who can't teach. First of all, I'd like to say that I couldn't teach any of you listening today how to ride a motorcycle. Guess what? We would all end up in the hospital. If you look at page number 2 in your handout, and I'm not saying this to impress you, but to impress upon you what I'm about to share with you does not come from some weak textbook theory. It comes from my own personal experience since 1980. I personally have made over 250,000 sales and prospecting calls. I've analyzed and listened to more than 25,000 actual sales calls, and I have facilitated over 6,000 one-on-one coaching sessions. So what I'm about to share with you, one, comes from my own personal experience, plus the experience of having worked with thousands of individuals like yourself over the past 20-plus years. And some of the ideas that I'm going to share with you actually come from over 1 million telephone calls. So, again, this isn't some weak book textbook theory, some pie-in-the-sky ideas. This is actual tactics that I'm going to share with you today that will help you to avoid the biggest mistakes that salespeople make on the telephone, so when you get on the telephone, you can sound confident and accomplish the purpose of your call. So we are on slide number 3 now. Why are you here today? Well, you may be here for a variety of reasons. Maybe you're just simply frustrated with the industry, or you're frustrated, you're not really sure of what to say or how to say it when you get on the phone. Maybe for some of you, you experience call reluctance and you don't have the confidence, or you have a hard time working through the gatekeeper, or maybe you're not asking the right questions, or you waste time talking to the wrong people, or you don't know how to ask for the business, or whatever it may be. So being really, really clear about why you're here today, I can help you with some of these issues. Now, we have approximately 30 to 35 minutes to share this information with you. And again, we're going to open it up for questions at the end. But first of all, on page number 4, I want you to meet Hector the Prospector. And prospecting is the foundation for all successful businesses, period. Every successful salesperson, advisor, consultant that I've had the opportunity to work with over the past 25 or 30 years, they all had one thing in common. They've never stopped prospecting. And you know, after having done this for 30 years, I never stop prospecting. I've got time blocked out in my calendar tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 4 o'clock to prospect. I prospected yesterday morning from 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock. I block out these simple activities because if I don't, guess what? I don't do the activity. Now, if you look up the definition of prospecting in the dictionary, it means to search for or to labor for. What are we all searching for? Well, we're all searching for new customers, aren't we? Or we're all searching for new business from our existing customers. So where do our customers – well, I want to back up here. I got ahead of myself here. I want to focus on Apple for 1 minute. Apple in 1996 was on the verge of bankruptcy. They brought Steve Jobs back into the company that he founded in the early or in the latter 70s, and he looked at all the product lines. He eliminated a majority of the products. He simplified everything. And you know what? Today, 14 years later, they are considered one of the largest technology companies on the planet today with over a $300 billion market capitalization. In fact, I read an article this morning that said by next year they will have more cash on hand than the stock is worth in the marketplace. And that's pretty remarkable 14 years later. Have they ever stopped prospecting? No. Have they ever stopped innovating from the day that Steve Jobs came back? And they've innovated new products. We had the iPad come out, iLife come out, iTunes, iPhone, iPad, and they continually. So I want to pose the question to all of you, what are you doing in your businesses to innovate and create and continually bring these ideas to your prospects and to your customers? So we're on page number 6 now in your handout. Our prospects come from a variety of sources. They come from research that we have personally done. Maybe we have purchased some lists. Prospects come from our referrals, from friends and family, maybe from our clients. Our prospects also may come from centers of influence. I have several centers of influence in my life today that feed me a lot of prospects. I get a lot of referrals. Now, I haven't made a cold call in over 10 years. Now, am I saying that cold calling doesn't work? No, I'm not saying that at all. But if you develop your business, if you develop these relationships, you can receive a lot of prospects from these other sources. Well, some of you listening today, maybe your prospects come from associations that you belong to. What about social media such as LinkedIn? And I'm not going to cover any social media today, but your prospects may come from there, and they may even come from a cold call. And cold call is not a bad word. It's not an evil word. For some of you listening today, maybe you have a strong referral source, or maybe you have a center of influence that you can go to. If your business isn't growing fast enough, maybe you're going to have to buy a list of people that you can call based on the services that you provide. So let's go on to page number 7, and I'm going to highlight the 5 biggest mistakes that salespeople make on the telephone, and then we're going to break them down one at a time. So mistake number 1 is they have no clear purpose for the call. Mistake number 2, they waste time with the wrong people. Mistake number 3, they have no game plan or strategy. Mistake number 4, they cannot articulate what I call the unique message, or when somebody walks up to you and they say, what do you do? What do you say? And the last biggest mistake is they fail to clearly communicate what the next steps are in the process. So before I break them down one at a time, the movie The Wizard of Oz taught us everything we need to know about sales. And I posted 5 major questions on in your handout there that we need to ask ourselves before, during, and after every single phone call. What is the purpose of this call? Who is the person I'm trying to reach? What is the game plan for this call? What is the potential solution? We may not know the solution on this call, but when somebody asks us what we do and what's our unique message, or what why are we different and what differentiates ourselves, what is it that you tell them? And then what is the next step? So let's look at the movie The Wizard of Oz, and let's apply these 5 wisdom principles to the movie. The purpose of the movie. What was the primary purpose throughout that entire movie? It was to get home, wasn't it? Dorothy lands in Munchkin Land killing the Wicked Witch. The house fell on the Wicked Witch. Dorothy's primary purpose throughout that entire movie was to get home. Question number 2. Who was the right person that Dorothy originally thought could help her get home? Well, it was the wizard, wasn't it? Okay, so then what was the game plan to get from Munchkin Land to Oz? So she asked all the Munchkins, how do I get to see this wizard? And they said, follow the yellow brick road. So they get to Oz, they walk down that long hallway, and what was the solution that the wizard wanted to grant them their wish? He said, if you go get blank, I will grant all of you your wish. And he said, bring me the witch's broomstick. So they went out. They got the witch's broomstick. The witch melted. Help me, help me, help me. And they got the witch's broomstick. They ran back to Oz. They ran down that long hallway. They set it down in front of the wizard. The minute that the broomstick hit the floor, the credits started to roll and the movie was over, right? No, that didn't happen. What happened the minute that the broomstick hit the floor? Well, there was a next step in the movie. What was the next step for the lion? It was to get courage. What was the next step for the Tin Man? It was to get a heart. What was the next step for the Scarecrow? It was to get a brain. And what was the next step for Dorothy? It was to get her back home. So each one of them was provided the solution to their problem. Courage, a heart, a brain, and back home. All of you listening today have a solution for your prospects. And these solutions, all right, so let me ask you a question. If you had the cure for cancer, how many cancer patients would you call every day? And I've asked this question to thousands of people, and I get the same answer. I would call everybody. So you have the solution for life and disability insurance, and you help make people's lives easier in case they have some kind of a disaster in their life, that you can provide a solution for that. So let's move on to page number 9 here, and let's break them down one at a time with the first question. If you take nothing else out of this session today, the purpose of the call is to keep the purpose of the call the purpose of the call. Confused people will not respond to action. And to this day, if I'm going to make a phone call, I don't care who it is, if it's a prospect, if it's a customer, if it's a networking group, I answer the question first. What is it that I want to accomplish on this call? Once we've identified that, then guess what? Everything else leads to that. All the questions that we ask drives it to that purpose. So when you approach somebody on the telephone, I'll give you an example of an approach. So if your approach on the telephone is to set an appointment, because we all know that nothing happens unless you set an appointment, unless you make sales over the phone. And the last time I checked in your industry, very few of you are making sales over the phone, because obviously we have to have an initial appointment. We need to go out and have a discovery session and an interview and learn as much as we can about these individuals. So let me give you an example of an approach and a purpose statement. Hi, this is Steve Coyta calling with XYZ Company. I know you weren't expecting my call today. Is this a convenient time to talk? Now, that question is critical. Everybody write that down. I know you weren't expecting my call today. Is this a convenient time to talk? Now, you and I were taught never to ask that question. Why? Because we're giving them an out. Well, I used to think the same thing. In 1984, my mentor challenged me, and he said, Steve, I want you to start asking for a minute to talk. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that, because if I do that, I'm giving them an out. He said, try it for 30 days. Humor me. I was blown away at the response. So often people are expecting you to interrupt their day and let her rip and ask them how they're doing. None of that matters. So, again, the approach to the purpose is, hi, this is Steve Coyta calling with the Plus Group. I know you weren't expecting my call this afternoon. Is this a convenient time to talk? 95% of the time, they're so curious why you're calling. Don't tell them why you're calling until you get into the purpose. They're so curious, they say, well, that depends. What are you calling me about? Guess what? Now they've invited you into the call. Now you can state your purpose. And the purpose begins with the reason for my call today, the purpose of my call today, I'm calling in regards to, I'm following up about. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. But if the purpose of your call is to ask for the appointment, then ask for the appointment, because at the end of your purpose statement, you can expect 99% of the time, thank you so much for calling me. I'm so glad you called. When can you get over here? Right? Well, that doesn't happen. That never happens. Well, once in a while it happens. What do you get at the end of your purpose statement? You get an objection. I'm not interested. I'm well taken care of. I'm happy where I'm at. So you come in with your purpose statement, you ask for the appointment. All right, page number 10, who is the right person? Okay, so at the end of my purpose statement, the reason for my call is simply to ask for the opportunity to meet with you. We've created some very unique strategies that will eliminate your concerns around disability in case something would happen or you were unable to work. What is your availability next week? And right there, You can expect an objection, all right? You can also confirm that you're talking to the right person. I was directed to you as the individual that is responsible for making these types of decisions in your organization. So if you're dealing with a C-level in an organization, I was referred to you, or I was directed to you as the person responsible for making these decisions in your organization. Is that correct? Or if you're dealing with an individual, I understand you're the person that makes it with these decisions. Is that correct? Now, most salespeople will not ask that question. Why? Because of fear. So here's the question. I was directed to you as the person responsible for making the decisions about blank. Is that correct? You have to fill in the blank. I don't pretend to know your business better than you do. You know your business far better than I do. So you fill in the blank, confirm the right person. Now, if you don't want to confirm it, you can confirm it a couple of places. Did I catch you in the middle of summer? Do you have a minute to talk? Well, that depends. What are you calling me about? I was directed to you as a person responsible for making decisions around disability and your C level in your organization in case disaster would happen. Is that correct? So I can ask it at the beginning of my purpose statement, or I can ask it at the end of my purpose statement after I've asked for the appointment. But either way, somewhere in the beginning of the conversation, we need to ask. The reason is because there's only 86,400 seconds in every day. Do you know that if you waste 6 minutes in an hour over an eight-hour day, a week, a month, a year, that is equivalent to 5 weeks of wasted time a year? So we have to talk to the right people for the right results. Principle number three, the third biggest mistake, is what is the game plan? Now, I am a very big believer in scripts. And I don't mean the kind of scripts where you get called on at night by those telemarketers. That's not what I'm talking about. The highest paid people in the world, they know their presentations word for word. You know who these people are. You've helped pay their salaries. I can assure you that Jack Nicholson does not show up on the set and wing it. Now, he may ad lib it from time to time, and they may catch some really unusual shots of him when he's ad-libbing it, but you can rest assured before he ever sets foot on that stage, he knows his lines forwards, backwards, and inside out. It's no different than going to a play on Broadway. Those actors and actresses rehearse over and over and over again. They start with a foundation. They start with a script. How many times have you found yourself in the middle of a phone call not prepared? What happens? What happens to your confidence? How many times have you found yourself in the middle of a voicemail not prepared? What happens to your voicemail? What happens to your voice? You pray to God you could start that voicemail over again. The game plan is absolutely critical. That is the yellow brick road. And if you're clear about the game plan, you can guide this person to the purpose of your call. One, if you're clear about the purpose, and what we do in our game plan is we create questions that lead us and them to the purpose of the call. So the first question is to get invited in. I know you weren't expecting my call. Is this a convenient time to talk? Second question could be, I was directed to you as the person responsible for making decisions about this. Is that correct? Third question, what is your availability next week? So I'm asking for the appointment at the end of my purpose statement. Then if they object, I'll begin to ask some other questions. Tell me, who have you been working with in the past? When was the last time you evaluated your process, or when was the last time you evaluated your strategies? Or let me ask you this. Let's say you were to walk outside today after work and you got hit by a bus or you got in a serious car accident and you couldn't work for the next 12 months. How would you be prepared for something like that? How's that going to replace your income? Okay, so we begin to ask questions to guide them through this process. And then the next part is, what is the solution? Well, we can't diagnose the solution until we're clear about the problem. Now, I understand that the purpose of the call in most situations is to set an appointment. All right, I get all of that. But when they object, wouldn't this be a great opportunity to begin to ask a couple of qualifying questions to get a clearer picture? And I want you to think of questions like a jigsaw puzzle. What's on the cover of the box? Well, the picture of the puzzle. You open up the box, you spread the pieces all over the table. Each piece that you put together, the picture becomes clearer and clearer and clearer, doesn't it? Okay, well, questions are the same way. And you can't diagnose the problem without asking the right questions. And I realize, again, it happens at the initial meeting, but this is a perfect opportunity, if they object, to begin to ask questions rather than trying to get defensive, because I was taught when I got into sales, when they say this, they object to this, you tell them that, and when they say this, you tell them that, and now what? You got a war on your hands. So you ask questions and then move them to the next step, and we will get to that in a minute. But I want to take a little detour here for just a minute, and let's move on to page number 13. How we communicate our unique message or our message, what it is that we do, because people ask us all the time. Everybody picture this for a minute. There's 50, 60 of us on this call today. We're in a social gathering right now, and everybody's standing around. You're having a glass of wine or a soda, or you're eating a cookie or a cracker or some cheese, and I walk up to you and I say, "Hi, I'm Steve, and what is your name, and what do you do?" What would you tell me? Really, I'm serious. What would you tell me? Now, I have done this in front of thousands of people over the past several years. And I actually come off the stage, I actually get into the audience, and I say, "Hi, I'm Steve, and your name is, and what do you do?" "Well, I'm a financial advisor," or "I sell insurance," or "I sell disability insurance." And I hear this consistently over and over and over again. So guess what? If your customers or prospects cannot differentiate you from everybody else, you have commoditized yourself, and in my opinion, it'll always come down to price. They will always pick the best price if they can't differentiate you. So I want to take you through a little exercise. And you've already got the words in your handout. So you and I are motivated by pain and pleasure. We will do whatever we can do to eliminate, reduce, avoid, remove, or diminish the pain in our life. So let me give you an example. I was out in San Francisco recently speaking to a group of people, and I got off the airplane, went to my hotel. I had a splitting headache. I went to the little store in the hotel first in search of some Advil. I found the Advil. I was so happy. $1.75 for two Advil. I was appalled. Now, did I pay it? Of course I paid it. Why? Because I had a pain that I wanted to eliminate. That's now on my checklist. I'm not going to forget the Advil when I travel again, because $1.75, it's ridiculous. So this is an exercise that I want you to do after the call today. This is a great exercise. Take each one of those words and you identify the pain that you help your prospects and customers eliminate, reduce, avoid, remove, or diminish. One or two word responses that you help them eliminate, reduce, avoid, remove, or diminish. Now let's go on to page number 14. What do you help them increase, expand, maximize, strengthen, or build up? What do you help them increase, maximize, strengthen, or build up? And here's the formula for success. All right, here's the template. So the next time somebody walks up to you at a social gathering or you're at a networking group or they ask you on the phone, what do you do? Don't say you're in disability insurance. Don't tell them you're an insurance agent. When you say the word insurance or whatever, or an advisor, people start running for the hills. So here's the template. We have created some unique strategies that will blank, eliminate their pain, and blank, increase their pleasure. So we have created some unique strategies that will eliminate your concerns if you were to become disabled, and at the same time, increase your confidence knowing that you'll have a big enough nest egg to take care of you and your family. Tell me a little bit more about your business and what you do. So you turn that around. When somebody ever asks you what you do, you give them the little, what they call an elevator pitch. You give that to them, and then you come back with a question to engage them into a dialogue. Now, casualness leads to casualty. We were at Sam's Club here several months ago, and I wanted to change who the primary account holder was on the account. I wanted to come off of the primary account holder, and I wanted to put my wife on as the primary account holder. So we're standing in the customer service area, and the woman is asking us some questions, and she looks at me, and she goes, "What do you do?" I said, "I train salespeople." And my wife looks at me, and she goes, "Well, that was really unique. Boy, you really sounded different. Boy, did you commoditize yourself?" And I felt so stupid. I've been working with advisors for years and helping them craft their message so they don't sound like everybody else out there. And here I fell into the commodity trap because I didn't think it mattered. Guess what? Everything matters. Casualness leads to casualty. And then now let's talk about the next step. What is the next step in the process? Is the next step to ask for the appointment? Is the next step to provide the solution? Is the next step to provide some more information? It's like a game of pool. If any of you have ever played a game of pool before, there's a lot of things going on in a game of pool. But primarily, you've got the cue ball and your object ball. And the object is to sink your object ball into the pocket and then set the cue ball up for the next shot. Now, I've played pool for years. And sometimes it's very difficult to set the cue ball up for the next shot. But you're always thinking about sinking the object ball and then setting up the cue ball for the next shot. Well, guess what? Sales is the same way. So what is the next step in the sales process? Just like the movie The Wizard of Oz, it didn't end once they got the solution for the wizard. What was the next step to implement the brain, the heart, the courage, and the trip back home? So you always want to be thinking about that when you're going through a telephone call. And it comes back to the purpose of your call. So if we've identified the purpose at the beginning and we've asked the right questions to lead them through the conversation. And again, at the end of your purpose statement, if you ask for the appointment, they say, "Sure, that sounds great. I'm more than happy to get with you." Guess what? Call's over. You reconfirm the information. You reconfirm the date and the time. Call's over. But you're always thinking about the potential solution, whether you're on the phone, whether you're face-to-face, and then clearly communicate. So if you end the phone call and they don't know what the next step is, there's too much confusion. There's no urgency in the call. So at the end of every phone call, I'm communicating, "Okay, Jerry, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you an email. And in that email are going to be specific directions for you to get involved in the producer's toolbox or for you to review this. And then when would be appropriate for me to follow up with you?" Okay, so what I'd like everybody to do is I'd like on page number 17, what was the aha moment for you? What was your action idea? What was the bright idea that you're going to take away from this call today and you're going to put into action immediately? Because the farther you get away from this call today, the farther you get away from implementing this action idea, the less likely it is that you're going to do it. So I want you to take 30 to 60 seconds to do that. Write it down so it becomes real. And then what we're going to do after about 60 seconds, we'll open it up for conversation or questions. And then I want to share with you a couple of resources that you'll be able to utilize to increase your prospecting activity, retain more clients, and ultimately drive more sales. And I'd like to highlight that at the end of the call. So you're going to want to stick around to the end of the call. But let's go ahead, write down your idea, and then when Stacy feels it's appropriate to open it up for Q&A, we'll open it up for Q&A.
Okay, Stacy, when you're ready, we are ready to open up the lines.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have any questions, please press the number one key on your phone. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have any questions, please press the number one key on your phone. One moment while the questions come into queue.
Okay.
Our first question comes from Ken Sapone. Ken, go ahead.
Steve, what do you say when, to handle objections when you're talking to prospects and clients?
Okay, so the objection, "I'm not interested, I'm well taken care of, I'm happy where I'm at, You know, my brother-in-law handles this for me. Okay, I was taught when I got into sales is to respond or rebuttal to the objection. And what happens is we start telling our way through the objection. It doesn't work. So let me share the formula for success with everybody when working with an objection. Number one, you listen and you do not get defensive. In other words, when they stick you with the pin, when they stick you with the objection, don't say, ouch. See, I was taught, Ken, when you told me you didn't have any money for this investment, I was taught to respond with, well, Ken, are you always that broke?
Yes.
And, Ken, when you told me that you had to talk to your wife, Tracy, about this investment, I was taught to respond with, well, Ken, who wears the pants in your family? That's what I was taught. And you know what? You do that once or twice, you get your face ripped off. I don't believe in tricks. I don't believe in manipulation. I have a philosophy. You always, always, always leave them better than you found them. So step number one is you listen. Do not get defensive. Number two, and here's the key, which comes back to the game plan, you begin to ask questions. I can appreciate the fact that you're working with somebody. If you don't mind me asking, who are you working with? How long have you been working with them? When was the last time you sat down with them and looked at some unique strategies to help you eliminate some of your concerns in case you were to lose your resources or income? So you begin to ask questions to get a better, clearer picture, and here's what you do. Number three is you get off of the objection and focus back on the purpose of the call. So I would ask a couple of questions. You know, who are you working with? How long have you been working with them? When was the last time you sat down? And then this is what I would do. Ken, at this point, I'm not asking you to change your relationship with your current provider. The whole purpose of our meeting is simply to give you an opportunity to take a look at some unique strategies that we have developed at the Plus Group, or whatever the name of your company is, at XYZ Company, and see if it makes sense. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. Is that fair enough, Ken?
Very fair.
Now, I've tested that out with hundreds of thousands of telephone calls. Does it always work? No, but they're not expecting it because the average salespeople out there, they start rebuttaling. I mean, the rock band, the Who said it better than anybody. You and I, we don't have to fight to prove that we're right. And their perception, the customer's perception, is their reality. Well, you may say to me, Steve, their reality is all messed up. Well, that may be true, but it's still their reality. And the only way to find out what the reality is to engage them into a dialogue, ask them some questions, and I'll repeat it again. At this point, Ken, I'm not asking you to make any changes with your current provider, how you currently do anything. The whole purpose, you see this? I'm switching. The whole purpose of my call is simply to ask for an opportunity to sit down with you and show you some really unique strategies and approaches that you may have not seen in the marketplace and see if it makes sense. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. Is that fair enough, Ken?
Yes.
All right. So that's how that works. Thanks for asking that question. It's a great question.
Our next question comes from Grover Brillhart. Grover, go ahead.
How do you get past the gatekeeper? And then number two, if you keep on winding up in their voicemail and you don't get a return phone call, what are the magic words to leave on the voicemail to get that call?
Okay, that's actually those two right there, gatekeeper and voicemail, that we could talk about each one of those for a half hour. But I'm going to give you the high level, the gatekeeper. All right. Have we all seen the movie Wall Street, 1987? I'm going to give you the Bud Fox approach of working with a gatekeeper. You always be honest. You be truthful in everything you do. Now, Bud Fox called Natalie every single day at the same time. He developed a relationship with Natalie. She wasn't going to let him in because she could have gotten fired for letting him in to Gordon Gekko. So he calls every single day, day after day after day. He gets her name. He starts working, developing a relationship with her. One day, he shows up at Gordon's office. She doesn't even look up from her desk, and he walks in and says, I'd like to speak to Gordon Gekko. She automatically recognized his voice because he had developed this relationship. And then he basically said, come on, Natalie, All I'm asking for is an opportunity to earn his business and trust. I know it takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. I know he gets a lot of calls like this. At this point, all I'm asking for is 120 seconds of his time. Is that fair enough? All right, so let me back up. The gatekeeper approach, what's in it for them? You have to always be thinking about what's in it for them, and you have to be truthful, always be honest. Yeah, I've heard salespeople say when the gatekeeper asks the dreaded question, what's this call about? Well, it's none of your business. This is a personal matter. You can't do stuff like that. They're getting paid to keep you away. So when the gatekeeper asks the question, what is this call concerning, I can appreciate you asking that question. We've created some really unique strategies that will eliminate and reduce your company's senior-level executives' exposure to risk. And what that means to you is to increase the profitability of your organization, because if something were to happen to Mr. Jones or Mrs. Smith, what would that mean to your company? So I realize that he or she receives many, many phone calls like this. I will be very, very respectful. All I'm asking for today is 120 seconds of their time. Is that fair enough? Now, she may come back and say, listen, I'm going to get into trouble if I put you through. I can't do it. Okay, I can appreciate that. If you were in my shoes right now, how would you proceed? And 95% of the time, they say, well, send me some information. Well, you know what 95% of the salespeople do? They go, okay, great, and they never send any information because they think it's a waste of time. You send the information, you follow up, and you start the Bud Fox, Natalie approach. You start developing a relationship, and pretty soon, at some point, it may be 6 weeks, it may be 6 months, she is going to let you through because of the way you've treated her. And also, you send her a handwritten thank you note, aside from the information. You send her a handwritten thank you note. Natalie, thank you so much for your time on the phone today. I really appreciate your help. Have a great day. Now, that approach has gotten me into some of the biggest CEOs and presidents, you know, in the United States. You know, I always target the people that I want to go after. So that's a gatekeeper approach. The voicemail approach, it comes back to your unique message, all right? So here's a homework for everybody. I gave everybody the homework to create one unique message. Create several unique messages that eliminates their pain and increases their pleasure. And then you begin to drip on the prospect every week or every other week. So you have a series of five or six voicemail messages, and they're all different. So it starts off something like this. Hi, Grover. This is Steve Coita with the Plus Group. My telephone number is, I want to thank you in advance for taking the time to listen to my voicemail message. The purpose of my call today is, you state your purpose with your unique message. We've created some unique strategies that will blank and blank. Please give me a call back. Here's step number three. Please give me a call back at your earliest convenience so I can share with you some unique strategies that you've never heard in the marketplace before. Again, this is Steve Coita with the Plus Group, and my phone number is. I leave my phone number at the front, and I leave it at the end. The reason for that, and we tested this with 25,000 voicemail messages, the minute somebody leaves you a voicemail message and you hear their phone number, what do? You write it down. Do you want them engaged at the beginning of the voicemail or at the end? Well, the answer is obvious. You want them engaged listening to your voicemail at the beginning, and the voicemail needs to be less than 30 seconds. That's the best advice I can give you. Obviously with the time that we have, but that will give you a great start. Create five or six unique messages, and you begin to drip on your prospect. And when do you stop? I've known salespeople who leave 50, 60 voicemail messages, and I'm very persistent. You know, I don't guilt people. Well, you know, I left you a message last week. You haven't called me back. How come? No, I just pleasantly drip every week, every other week. I may follow up with an email. That's another thing when you're working with a gatekeeper. By the way, does Gordon have an email address that I could send him some information? So, again, it comes back to questions and being prepared prior to making that call. Hope that helps, Grover.
Thank you.
You bet.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you have a question, please press the number one key on your phone.
Okay, what I'd like to do was some other questions are coming in. I'd like to draw everybody's attention to the last two pages. The Producer's Toolbox I launched in January. The Producer's Toolbox is the premier sales and prospecting system for financial advisors, insurance agents, and employee benefit consultants. It's all to help you set more appointments and drive more sales. You can learn where you want, what you want, how you want. There is a wealth of information. I've taken everything I've learned over the past 25 years. I've digitized it. There's videos in there. There's actual sound clips from producers like you that you can listen to, best practices. There's a way to track your activity. Everybody gets a two-week free trial. If you go to the producerstoolbox.com, sign up for a two-week free trial. You'll have complete access to everything. We don't lock out content. Go ahead and take the two-week free trial. After that, if you like it, you can subscribe. The initial enrollment fee is $97 to enroll. It's $47 a month after 30 days. You can cancel at any time. It is a great, great resource. Another resource I have on the last page is the Prospecting Expert blog. I write an article every week. I post a lot of great information out there. I've got a lot of free information out there. You can also subscribe to our Prospecting Playbook. That's a free download. For those of you that are listening today, I just got approval from Apple for my iPhone app within the last 2 weeks. Go out to iTunes or go to the prospectingexpertblog.com. Click on that icon, free iPhone app. You can click on that. And guess what? All the information that I post on the blog every week will automatically be pushed to your iPhone. So you've got, there's a lot of great information in there to help you become more successful in sales. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Any other questions, Stacy?
Mr. Cloyda, at this time, there are no further questions.
Okay. Great. Well, Steve, thank you. It was very informative. We greatly appreciate your time, and thank you, everyone, today for attending. We have recorded this call, and once we receive the tape, we will be hanging a recorded copy of this on our website at www.plusgroupus.com. And thanks again, and everyone, our next training will be next Wednesday, April 27th. Title will be DI to the Max, Don't Leave Your Clients Exposed. Will be presented by Tom Peterson of Peterson International Underwriters. Again, Steve, thank you, and thank you to everyone who attended. And please contact your local Plus Group office for more information. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tracy. It was a real privilege. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.